Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're enjoying a beautiful, almost summer-like day today, but we're here hopefully to entertain you as well as inform you. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
And I think that, Pat, you said we're going to start with an item on Fannygate.
Fannygate update. Dun, dun, dun. Talking about Fannie Willis. She's the prosecutor, the district attorney down in Fulton County, Georgia, which is the city of Atlanta. And she's the one that filed the big RICO case against Trump. And so far, she's been kicked off the case because she had an inappropriate
relationship
with the lead prosecutor that she had appointed. She paid him $770,000, and he'd never handled a RICO case before. Then she went on vacations with him, and she was accused of getting a kickback in that regard. At any rate, one of the RICO defendants filed a motion, and after hearings and whatnot, she was removed from the case for conflict of interest. She's appealing that, but she and her entire office have been removed from the case, and if she loses her appeal, then that case will have to go to another prosecutor who will probably drop it because it has lots of problems. At any rate, she's also being investigated by Jim Jordan's subcommittee up in Congress, and he wants documents from her because it shows that she coordinated her RICO case with the White House. And she's refusing to turn over the documents. Well, the update is that she sent him a letter saying, "Why are you harassing me? It's, after all, it's Black History Month." Bless her little heart, she just cannot fail to use the race card. She has used it consistently. She has gone to a Black church in excoriated all the defendants as racists, and Jordan, "It's Black History Month. Quit harassing me."
I think the most disturbing part of this whole thing is the fact that she coordinated with the White House in going after President Trump. It was a totally political case. And if nothing else, she illustrates the corruption in our Justice Department, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that I believe President Trump is trying to clean out, but is very difficult because of some of the judges that are currently in place.
Well, remember, the judges are not in the Justice Department. They're in the judiciary.
And they're elected, many of them.
No, the federal judges are appointed for life.
But Fannie Willis was elected, am I
correct? She's a district attorney.
So she's elected.
Yes.
Is it correct? Now, you said the corruption in the Department.
Of Justice.
I am going to say, let us use the proper word, the arrogance of the Department of Justice. And the reason I say that, and I agree, it is corruption. But it's just, it's blatant. They don't care if they're seen. They have no... Going back to McCarthy era, have you no shame?
Well, you know, one reason they're arrogant is because they have the full resources of the federal government behind them. So when you're a defense attorney and your guy gets charged with a federal crime, man, they fall on you like a ton of bricks. And there's no way the defendant has the resources to put together a decent defense, and they talk to you like you're a dog, you know, and they rub your face in it. "Well, we'll just crush you in court, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll file these documents. You'll never be able to answer all of them, blah, blah, blah." And I have to say that has affected my appreciation or my admiration for federal lawyers.
That, yeah.
And not in a good way.
Now, the federal judges, And the federal judges are involved right now in blocking a lot of what Trump is doing.
Right.
They're appointed?
They're appointed for life.
Oh, they can be impeached, but
they can be impeached.
But they're appointed for life.
Right.
But the impeachment process, as I understand it, just has to do whether they committed like a misdemeanor or something criminal.
Good behavior. They serve on good behavior.
Yeah, but good behavior does not mean if you disagree with, if they take a position that's way out of line with all of the
Yeah, but
the
conflict
voters.
Of interest isn't a misdemeanor.
No, well, that's what I'm just saying. It's so difficult, almost impossible, to get rid of one of these people, one of these federal judges.
I don't.
Isn't that correct?
I don't know that.
When's the last federal judge that was kicked off the bench?
I can't.
Can't
recall
remember.
One.
That's what I'm saying.
Because nobody's ever tried.
No.
Let's try
well, I agree with that, but it's a difficult process.
So
although I did notice that Trump signed an executive order the other day in which, I don't know, I haven't seen all the details of it, but essentially it has to do with this subject. And he was specifically talked about Jack Smith, mm-hmm. who went way out of line. He was apparently appointed illegal. There was some suspicion or some evidence that he was not appointed properly. But when they were interviewing him, interviewing President Trump, somebody made a comment about, you know, these prosecutors and so on. And he said, well, I know better than anybody. I've been prosecuted more illegally for political purposes than any other person in the history of the country, which is essentially the truth. He has been persecuted.
They asked him about targeting a particular person. He said, don't talk to me about targeting.
Because he's been the target.
Yeah, the controversy with Jack Smith was that the special prosecutor is supposed to be approved by Congress, and nobody ever approved him. And that was the original controversy, which everyone chose to ignore.
That's why the judge down in Florida dismissed the Mar-a-Lago case.
So as a question, so if a judge does a ruling that is in conflict with the U.S. Constitution, mm-hmm. is that a reason to impeach them?
No.
No.
That just means they may be stupid.
But the judges
are
so...
It goes on appeal up to the Court of Appeals. correct the poor little devil.
But that's many, many days or months later, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. or years later.
But the judges are so insulated from any kind of accountability for their decision-making. Like, there was this Judge Alley. What was his name? I got it right here. Amir Ali, judge appointed by Biden. He just came out and blocked all of the DOJ efforts to cease the funding for the USAID program.
Yeah,
and
the program.
And he's saying you must by Wednesday. This is what the By Wednesday, I guess. Must be next week, I guess, or maybe it's tonight.
You
must reinstate and pay out all that money. Now, we've already identified, DOJ group has already identified this, and there's a lot of many money that most people would agree was being misspent. Now, then you have this one judge comes in, I don't care about that, I don't care about what the people say, I'm going to force you to spend that money. And that's this one judge appointed by Biden. That is not the way we should be running this country.
Well, ways that the money was being spent, it was going to fund diversity programs in foreign countries, and it was also funding organizations linked to terrorist groups. And the judge is saying, oh, let's go fund them.
So one of the conflicts that we see, and I'm talking just slightly over a month ago, is when President Biden was there and the court system said, you cannot dismiss the college loans. He just went on and did what he wanted to do. He totally ignored the court. Now, I know that we're seeing something slightly different, that President Trump is honoring the court's decision, and he is going to fight them, and he's going to disarm the courts eventually. But that takes a lot of time.
I don't know if he's honoring all of them, because that Amir Ali, I believe, is the judge, or maybe this is the second judge, that asked the Department of Justice attorney, I told you to pay that money. Has it been paid? And the DOJ attorney said, I'm not in a position to answer that. Because the judge said, I can't get a straight answer out of you. Have you paid the money or have you not paid the money? I'm not in a position to answer that, Judge.
The best answer that I can give right now was one of the early discoveries from the Doge group is that, in order to write that check, I need a line item reference. So I can't find the line item. I'm searching through all billions and billions of line items. I can't find the line item to put.
Right.
Well, I really wish that the Supreme Court would step up in some way. And I know they have to wait until these cases work their way up to the Supreme Court, I guess, in most cases. So that takes all this time. But the reality of it is, comes down to a simple question. Does the president, as the chief of the executive branch, have the authority to stop the spending of money that goes through the executive branch?
Yes.
And that's the question. Now, some people say he doesn't.
There's an answer, the Impoundment Act.
I know, but the point is there's controversy over it because some people are saying he cannot do that because the legislature, the House of Representatives, has the budget authority from the beginning, so they allocate the money so only they can stop the spending, that the president can't do that.
Well,
it's unsettled. Because if it was settled and he had the authority, how can these judges be blocking him?
Well, right now we're still working under what's called continuing resolutions. But going back a number of years, there was the Supreme Court ruled that there was no line item veto power for the president. So now if you're trying to stop certain spending, is that, quote, a line item veto? But we don't have a budget.
Well, they had one of the senators on TV the other night, and he explained, they asked him, well, didn't you see these line items, $15 million for circumcisions in Mozambique? I mean, didn't you see this? What are you guys doing for oversight? And he said, we used to have line items. He said, we quit doing that. We just give a chunk of money to USAID, and then it's up to them to piddle it out.
There's no oversight.
On the checks the Treasury writes, there's no
accountability.
No line item number. There's no way to trace the payments.
So we've just thrown all of that money in a cookie jar, and the first person to reach in the cookie jar gets the most.
Yeah, to further the bad thing is that when USAID was asked to tell Congress what they were spending their money on, they refused.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, where did you want to go?
Pat just made a comment about Congress as watchdogs, and Bill Maher, a week or so ago, was talking about the firing of the inspectors general, because President Trump has fired all the inspector generals. And he said, and I thought, well, that's not good. That's their job to watchdog stuff. But if you're losing $521 billion a year, how good are you at watchdogging? That is the question. I mean, we've had firings. We've had Congress is supposed to be oversight, and nobody's oversighting.
No, I think it's like if you came in to a corporation that was failing, was losing money, was bankrupt, you've got to go in and you've got to clean house. And you have got to... You can't be afraid and reluctant to do it. Otherwise, if you keep the same people in the offices and those positions that are creating the failing corporation, you're going to fail. I don't care if you know, as the new chief executive, you have to do like Musk did when he came in and took over
Twitter.
Yeah, he came in, took, hey, what did he fire?
80%.
80% of the people. Now it's functioning and he's eliminated a lot of the problems. But you've got to have the courage to make change. And you know, the federal bureaucrats believe that they, once they're hired as a federal employee, they're there for life. They don't worry about it. And that's why they don't like this accountability. Like we were talking at the break about this letter that Musk sent out about, or email, that you must report, tell us five things you did last week. Which, you know, if you're a conscientious worker, so fine, you write down five things, I'm sure. And they're all up in arms about it. And how dare you ask us what we do? I mean, what nerve? And, you know, in most businesses, if you're in a corporation or a salesman, you're accountable. They want to know what you've done. You have to account for your achievement and your work. And these people all working from home, how dare you ask me what I did last week?
Well, if you don't have that accountability, how is a supervisor supposed to write up a performance review? Oh, they were there.
Well,
but they watched Netflix last week, and they played 77 games of solitaire, and They cried when they saw the email, yeah.
It's interesting, too, because as much as I believe the American people are supporting DOGE, there's a lot of pushback from a lot of different places. And something I came across today was a headline in the UK Daily Mail that is totally misleading.
And the Daily Mail is a UK paper.
Usually they're very good on our news. Usually
right. They're better than ours.
They're better than ours. That's why this surprised me. But the headline is Musk stunned as dozens of DOGE staff suddenly quit with scathing letter as eye-watering new savings figure is revealed. What that doesn't tell you is the staff that quit was the staff that was hired by Obama to clean up the Obamacare website, which is the organization that got renamed DOGE.
So it was Digital Services.
Yes.
And then it became DOGE, which is why one of the judges that was asked to give a temporary restraining order said, the defendants have convinced me that DOGE is, in fact, a government agency. Therefore, they have the right to see this data because they are a proper government agency. But these 21 guys are from the old digital
yes.
services. They were hired by Obama, and they all quit and made a big deal out of it.
And the irony is that website, when Obamacare first came in, that was a horrible, horrible website. Did it ever get cured? No.
The thing that this illustrates is that government workers don't like being held accountable. And our government in general does not like its spending kept under control.
You know, I'm just to give them a defense, there's a number of great government workers that are doing their job faithfully and whatever else. But there's also a number of them that are just wasting our money.
Well, you know, in along the same lines, it's interesting. There was a comment made the other day, I think it was by Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. And he was apparently just looking at the overall supervision and management structure in the Department of Defense. During World War II, there were 7 4-star generals during the entire war, okay? And fought a worldwide war with four. In the Department of Defense right now, there's 140 four-star generals. So, again, you get back to what you were saying, Mary. It's not just whether each person is doing their job. Is do they have more people hired than they need to get the job done? And I think that's what Musk found when he took over that X. He must have. If he could fire 80% of your people and you're still functioning, then you didn't need those 80%. You know, and I think it's the same thing with these generals. Why do you need 140 four-star generals?
They haven't won a war since World War II.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of that, too, if you look at a picture of Eisenhower next to a picture of, say, General Milley, Eisenhower has maybe 5 or 6 medals on his uniform. Milley has a whole bunch. Which one accomplished the most?
You know, I want to just taking a slightly different direction where you're talking, you know, so many 4-stars or whatever else.
Right.
I'm going to bring it down to we're in Craven County. We have made a number of appeals to the school board. Give us your chart of organization for the various schools. Have we ever got a chart of organization, the accountability for those schools? I'm sorry to say, as far as I know, we have not yet received it. The appeal is still out there. Please give us that chart of organization.
Well, yeah. Lori Spies is in there now. Call her up and ask her.
Well, we'll do that. I'm not sure if the board is ever going to get it from the superintendent and the various schools.
And we know that nationwide, just talking about the school system, since I think it was 2010, the percentage of teachers has gone up like 8 or 9%. Okay, this is nationwide. The percentage of people in administrative position has gone up 35%. So it's just what you're talking about. There are these positions they keep adding, and you look at it and say, are these people doing anything that warrants us paying them? That's the question.
And that's the question. And I know there are some good people in there, and there are
yeah,
some horrible people in there.
They could be good people, but are they necessary?
Are they necessary?
Well,
are
DEI they? Isn't.
DEI is not.
Nope. CRT, also not needed, not wanted.
And if we had more teachers and less administrators, we might have better results in the academics of our children.
Because a lot of times what these administrative positions in the school system do, they to justify their positions, they keep coming up with things that the teachers have to do that they think it's like an accountability issue, but it justifies their position. It's like, all right, I'm hired as a DEI person, so I've got to have DEI instruction. I got to make sure it's being done. And the other thing he's talking about this DEI, you know, Trump signed this executive order that said DEI will not be taught in the schools that are receiving federal funds. But what's going to happen, and what happens traditionally with these bureaucratic institutions, they just changed the title of it. They say, oh, yeah, we're not, because, you know, we inquired the Board of Education last year. And the response we got back was, we don't, we're not teaching DEI. We don't teach CRT. We don't teach. And that's a lot of Tommy rot, because it's in the curriculum. And so it's.
Thank you for concern.
You can hide this stuff.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, now trying to add on to this, but hopefully we can get rid of that Department of Education as one of those cost-cutting ideas. Yeah. Because even though you get money coming from there, you get strings that come with it that really, really hamper your ability.
Well, you know, it's a cabinet position. The cabinet reports to the president, and if he doesn't need that cabinet, he should be able to get rid of one of them.
Now,
I think their budget, the federal Department of Education, I think their budget's like $86 billion. It's no small amount of money that they have. That would be a tremendous saving.
And it's stuffed full of bureaucrats just fiddling with the rest of the nation's schools.
Yes.
It's as hard as they can.
Now, I have a list of some of the things DOGE has cut recently. $69 million for the Eurasia Foundation to do digital transformation activity in Europe, $32 million to interviews for programs including media enabling democracy, inclusion, and accountability in Moldova.
Now, wait a minute. You're only talking millions. You're not even talking billions. Let's talk real money.
Well, I've got $52 million for the World Economic Forum.
Oh.
I've got...
To fly them all out there in their individual aircraft?
$25 million to promote biodiversity conservation and promote licit livelihoods by developing socially responsible behaviors in Colombia. $520 million for a consultant to do ESG investments in Africa and mobilize private sector resources and expertise.
Well, that's
and Mary, everything that you're relating or listing, they're all leftist ideology programs.
Yes.
Show me one of these programs that somebody would say this is a conservative or pro-American or pro-democracy kind of effort. It's all leftist stuff. Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
Well, they're all from Biden.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little one, $7 million for the American Bar Association to promote the resilience of the Eurasian legal sector and civic society.
The ABA has gone left.
Yes, it has.
And they're not worth their salt.
No.
That's the same with most of the medical associations. And
right.
Yeah.
Have supported left ideas. And again, they're working on consensus. They're not working on a constitutional basis or whatever else.
Well, the ABA's gotten so bad that Congress used to take their recommendations for judgeships.
No more?
No.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us off on the Doge.
Yeah, I am very concerned about this discussion about what should be done with the Doge savings that are being found. Well, first of all, I think the Doge effort should be publicized more frequently, maybe a couple times a week, where they report exactly where they are, where they're progressing, and so on, to make sure that the average American citizen knows what's going on and how successful they've been.
They already have one of those. It's called DogeTracker.org, and I've got it on my computer, and right now they're up to 51 million.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, I don't know how many people know about that site. I didn't know about it, but they ought to be publicizing what they're doing. The second thing is, though, there's been discussion about what should be done with the savings. And as I understand it, there's three options being considered. The first option is to put it all in, to pay off the national debt. Okay, you just take whatever savings, pay off the national. The second option was to put it towards the current budget, so that they could reduce the deficit in this particular year. And the third one, which was the one I like the least, is the one where they're going to give out $5,000 refund to the taxpayers. The households. It wasn't just to the taxpayers. $5,000, and I really don't like that one. The interesting thing about it, I just wanted to just read a paragraph here on this article I wrote. It's about the national debt, because I think a lot of people don't realize how bad it is. I mean, realize $36 trillion is bad, but this is what's happening. Every 100 days, we're spending another $1 trillion of money we don't have and going another $1 trillion into debt every 100 days. So that's $3 trillion a year. And actually, a little more than that.
Now, before you run, how big is a trillion? It's 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000.
Yeah. I remember when somebody once said, if you took $1 trillion and you just stacked them one on top of the other, you could get almost to the moon. I mean,
as paper would be.
When we just look at it, $1 trillion, but we have no concept of really what that is. And I think the recent report is that each person, if you take the 36 trillion, you divide it by the population in the United States, each person would have to pay over $100,000 each to pay that off. So a family with four owes $400,000 just to pay off the national debt. And obviously that's not doable. Can't be done. But they project by 2030, which is not that far away, that the national debt will reach $45 trillion. Just the interest payment on that will be $1.2 trillion, it would be $1.2 trillion fiscal year ending in October. That's this year. This year, we're going to have a deficit of $1.2 trillion.
Based on current interest rates.
Right, on current interest rate. And what they're projecting is by 2035, just the debt alone of just paying off the interest, not paying the principal, will be over $6 trillion a year. Our total tax income in 2024 was $4.5 trillion. So that's like having a credit card debt, owing so much money on your credit card, that the interest you have to pay exceeds your monthly income. Your total monthly income is not enough to pay off your interest. That's where
just
we're heading.
Just the interest, not even back the principal.
That's just the interest. So, and the other option, you know, that they discussed, like I mentioned, about using the DOGE money to try to reduce the deficit in this fiscal year. The problem what I have with that, you give politicians more money, and what do? They spend more money. I don't trust the politicians to do anything but spend more. And the third one, which is the one I like, as I said, I like least, is this idea that you give a $5,000 refund to every household. And that's what's been mentioned. And the problem with that is a couple of things. Number one, it's just going to drive up inflation. Anytime you give out, just like we had these handouts that were done a couple of years ago. The second problem, as I see it, only 50% of the people in the country actually pay federal tax, households actually pay federal tax. So now you're going to give $5,000 to each group. So the people who pay taxes get $5,000. The people who didn't even pay federal tax, they're going to get $5,000.
Well, otherwise they feel shorted.
Well, that's politically, that's what they're talking about. That's politically what they're talking about. The other problem is, let's say, for example, you're working, you're paying federal taxes. Let's say your federal taxes, based on your income, you paid $1,000. But now somebody else is making a higher salary, and they pay $10,000. Why should the person making the lower income get the same amount of refund as the person who paid more in? None of this stuff makes sense to me. That's why, like I said, I hope they don't go down that path. I hope they just take the money and put it to the national debt.
And if they do refund it to us, they're just printing more empty money.
Yep, I'd like to comment on your comment that at present interest rates. Do you remember when Janet Yellen said that inflation was transitory?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They took the debt, the national debt, and they used short-term paper for it. And so now there's, I don't know how many million,
he said. They got to refinance it.
They have to refinance it. Because, and you know, and her, well, we're sorry, we didn't foresee that it wasn't transitory, please.
And that's going to be at a much higher interest rate.
Right.
Is it right?
Right.
That's exactly.
It's going to be at a higher interest rate. By the way, along with what you're saying, the House of Representatives passed, quote, the Trump budget resolution, party line vote, 217 to 213 in favor, with three House members abstaining. The bill, which isn't necessarily an agreeable bill, it's some tax cuts, strict immigration laws, defense spending, and energy expansion. The $2 trillion in cuts divided the GOP. Moderates fear Medicare slashes, while hardliners want deep spending cuts. Now, the bill, it heads over to the Senate, and under the rosiest assumptions, which aren't true, okay, we're going to add $328 billion to the deficit this year. We're going to add $295 billion next year, and after that, $242 billion to the deficit.
Where are these cuts going?
You know, where is all this money we're saving from DOGE?
We don't know.
I mean, we keep hearing this list, 220 million here and 15 million there. And
I know that we need to do the savings, but boy, we need to do an awful lot more.
Well, it sounds to me like they didn't put the savings, assuming we're not paying for any of that stuff next year. They didn't put it in the bill.
They didn't put it in the bill.
I don't get it.
No.
Well, the truth of the matter is you cannot deal with this national debt without there being any pain. Politicians don't like inflicting pain. But the reality of it is, it's like your own finances. If you've got $100,000 in debt and you can't manage it, you have got to give up something. You're going to have to sacrifice. You can, and that's what it's going to take. If the country is, the country's going to have to sacrifice things in order to pay that debt down. And otherwise, it's not going to be dealt with.
Of course, the fear is the sacrifices will say, well, I won't get the votes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. People just get so used to, you know, getting things from the government, and this is what we're in. We're in a Marxist trend where we just give more and more out of the government, and it's like Medicaid. It was, for years, I think it was 9 to 10 years, the North Carolina General Assembly refused to have North Carolina join Medicaid for this. They wanted to expand it. It had it for a limited number of people. They wanted to expand it much greater. And they resisted it. Then all of a sudden, without any warning, they switched their vote. And now North Carolina is part of expanded Medicaid. And that's another, it's just teaching people to rely on the government. And that's not how this country was founded.
And as much as I like our representative, Greg Murphy, now he being a urologist, I think he was very, very much, when he was in our legislature, he was very much so in favor of our Medicaid payments because it would help his clientele. But again, it's the money's not there.
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting to see the effect of the executive order Trump just signed that all illegals have to be taken off the rolls for any federal benefits.
So
no more Medicaid, no Medicare,
Social Security,
no food stamps.
No housing in the Roosevelt Hotel in New York.
Maybe not, but the article said under such and such law, they still get housing benefits. And they can get some food stamps under this or that criteria. So, I mean, it's complicated.
Well, why do they get housing benefits in our VA folks, some of the veterans don't?
Don't ask me.
Well, Mayor Adams in New York City, he just announced the other day, and based on these cutbacks from the feds, they're going to stop putting these illegals in the Roosevelt Hotel. And the Roosevelt Hotel is one of the high-class hotels in New York City.
I bet it isn't anymore.
It's probably all been pretty much destroyed.
Probably going to have to rebuild the whole thing.
I think it says as of June they're going to shut down
I understand that.
Yeah. They said it has registered 173,000 illegal migrants since opening in 2023.
I don't understand why ICE just doesn't go in there and go down the hallways and get everybody out and take them off.
Yeah, I think that what they're doing, which really troubles me some, that they're focusing on the criminals. They're saying, well, we're going to deport these people that have criminal records and so on and so forth. If they're here illegal, they all ought to be deported. They shouldn't be sorting them out. Well, if you don't have a criminal record, that's okay. You can be here illegally. I don't agree with that one bit.
You became a criminal when you crossed the border.
No, Tom Homan said, he's been on a bunch of shows, Hannity, Jesse, Ingram. He said, if we run across you while we're looking for the guys with the records, even if you don't have one, you're going too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you again for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're coming up on the last segment. We're going to change hats. I think we're going to go international. And Alan, you wanted to...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about what happened recently with this, these three hostages that were returned deceased, the woman and her two children. And there was a lot of outrage and a lot of concern expressed by the Israeli people, which they should be. And temporarily, I think Netanyahu, he suspended releasing some of the hostages that they, not hostages, they were prisoners in the Israeli jails. You know, for every couple of hostages the Israelis get back, they've been releasing a couple hundred or several hundred of these Palestinian terrorists, which I don't understand the math there, why they do that. But this one was particularly shocking because they not only released the three dead, the bodies of these, but one of the body of the woman that supposedly, it wasn't even her, it was somebody else. Mm-hmm. So another insult and so.
And apparently the two children were actually strangled, and then their bodies were beaten after the fact to imply that they were killed in a air raid.
And now I think you have, I think Netanyahu has come out in the last day or so and said that they will comply, they will release these prisoners, the Palestinian. He put us a hold on it first. Now he's back to doing it. I don't understand that. I really don't understand why at this point they just don't stop the negotiation, go in and eliminate Hamas. They're going to have to do it at some point. And all they're doing is releasing these terrorists and giving more manpower to the Hamas effort. I mean, at some point, it's going to have to happen.
Well, he's got
this will go
pressure.
On for years.
He's got political pressure.
I know he
on.
Does, but the point is, sometimes you have to stand up and do the right thing, political pressure or not.
Yeah, but he does. He's
got a big segment of his population that says, we want the hostages. We don't care what it costs.
And he's dealing with his own legislature that may not always agree with him. He's strong-willed himself. But I don't think he has.
I would not walk a day in his shoes.
And also,
but this is the
during the Biden administration, the Biden administration did everything they could to undermine him and to put him out of office. And there are still some divisions left because of that. I agree with you, Alan. Eventually, I mean, you can move Hamas into Arab countries in small enough groups that maybe they won't regroup. But you've got a generation, even a generation as young as 5 years old, being taught that their mission in life is to kill Jews and move the Jews out of Israel. I don't know how you deal with that, and you can't put them in prison because then you set up hostage situations. So I don't like to think about what the only answer is, but I think you're on to something.
You know, Mary, to what you're saying, I ran across a picture of the cover of Life magazine 50 years ago, showing the Palestinian children with their with their arms. And that's
guns.
50 years ago. And nothing has changed.
You need to remember that the Palestinians are not, they never had their own country. Yasser Arafat was an Egyptian. There is a wonderful quote by a man named Waleed Shubat, who said, in 1967, I went to sleep, I was a Jordanian, and when I woke up the next morning, I was told I was a Palestinian. So the whole thing is a sham, and unfortunately, it's been ingrained to hate. And I don't know how you, I don't know that you cure it.
Well, you don't cure it by releasing several hundred of their terrorists for every hostage they release. Because all you're doing is making hostage-taking work.
Yeah.
Hostage-taking becomes successful when they do that, until they get to the point where the Israeli people realize that if they don't stop this, their total existence will... They might not even exist as a country if they allow this to continue. I know it's a harsh thing to say to somebody who's... whose family member's been taken hostage. Well, we can't, we have to assume that that person is probably deceased. And that's what they're gonna find. I think with the remaining ones, they're gonna find most of them already dead. So they're exchanging bodies for terrorists, live terrorists.
Live terrorists, yeah. Alan, I think you wanted to...
Yeah, I want to talk about Ukraine's situation. You know, my understanding is that Zelensky is gonna be visiting the United States and meeting with President Trump, I believe, this week, possibly Friday. It's about this deal about the
rare earth
the minerals.
Minerals and our, you know, and this is one of those ideas that Trump, I'm not sure Trump came up with it, but he certainly fostered it. Now, here you have a possibility that we could benefit, we, our country, could benefit and get something back for all the sacrifice we're making by running up our national debt in order to help Ukraine. They have a resource, they want our help, so they're going to have to, you know, and this is a good way. And it's also, I think it's going to help the security of Ukraine, because we're going to have a vested interest And preserving
in
what
production.
We invest over there. So that's so. I think it's a win-win situation, and you know. So I'm really glad that that's happening. So we'll see if it comes to pass.
But and he's trying to get other European countries to also supply some forces, not necessarily frontline forces, but also to try to maintain the peace if we can come.
Who's trying to do that?
I think Trump is trying to talk.
I thought it was Zelensky.
To France and I believe Germany.
Germany.
See if they can supply some troops to help
peacekeepers.
Peacekeepers.
He's not sending Americans.
No, he's not sending Americans.
But you know, and I think that's really correct. Trump is saying to the Europeans, you have to step up and deal with this problem more than you've been doing.
This is your backyard.
This is your problem. We'll help you, but you know, because if you look at the military strength of Germany, France, and England, it's gone down dramatically. They do not have anywhere near what they should have for their own armed forces. And so on, and they need to step up to the plate. And Trump's been doing that, and the Europeans don't like it, but too bad. You got to pay for your own defense. We'll help you, but you got to step up to the plate.
Well, they've been throwing a temper tantrum about Trump's comments about their lack of support for NATO, and floated the idea that maybe they should just pay for their own defense. Well, gee, that'll hurt our feelings.
Yeah. wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. That they should have their own army, you know, their own NATO-esque arrangement outside of NATO.
So, you know, we'll see where that goes, but at least Trump's making some progress, and we'll see what...
And also, again, we're also hearing that there is no way that we're going to agree to have Ukraine as a member of NATO.
Yeah, there's
correct.
Yeah. Yeah, Trump already told Zelensky, no, you're not going to NATO. Hegseth told him, no, you're not going
no.
to NATO.
And there was a comment that was made about this. There was a resolution passed at the United Nations a couple of days ago in which they came out and they issued this resolution, a statement blaming Russia for the invasion, which I think everybody understands. They're the ones that did it, so obviously they're the ones at fault. But the United States did not vote for it. They resisted voting for it. And my understanding, their rationale is not that we don't believe that Russia caused the problem. It's a tactical thing when you negotiate with somebody. If you're going to sit down at a table and try to negotiate a deal, you don't start off by like Biden did, saying, you know, naming your person you're going to negotiate with as a terrorist or a dictator or worse than Hitler, all these negative things, because you want to try to kind of suppress that and try to work with the person and come up with a deal. You don't start off negotiation by insulting the other people. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know.
You know, on the international front also, now, what was it, Tulsi Gabbard?
Tulsi Gabbard.
How many people did she decide to let go?
Oh, she got rid of 100 people that were on that NSA chat line. Perverts. Talking about transgender sex.
The pervert chat line.
Yeah, on an NSA professional platform, some reporter named Christopher Rufo got printouts of what was being discussed, and it wasn't classified. Because it was all kinks and fetishes and all about their sex lives. And it was so disgusting that nobody wanted to print any of the excerpts from the platform. When it was brought to her attention, she this morning said she was firing all 100 of them.
So and they would have a hard...
Across all of the intelligence agencies. It wasn't just NSA, CIA and some others, DIA...
And so if you listen to going back to Musk saying, what five things did you do for me this past week? Some of them would have been X-rated.
Yeah.
Well, again, how were they spending their company time?
Exactly.
That's how. It was done on company time, on company resources.
Do we have time to talk about the naval situation between China and the U.S.?
We got about a minute and a half. Let's go for it.
Get out to it quick. We'll probably pick it up next week. But did a little research on what's going on between the U.S. and China. China now has more naval ships than the United States have.
And more naval personnel, yes.
More naval personnel.
And more facilities for building.
And more facilities. We have four yards that can build ships. They have like 24, something like that. So their capacity to build ships is much greater than ours. So there's several of these things. But what concerns me is that we are seeing an evolution in the technology in warfare. And, for example, we have 11 super carriers, aircraft carriers. They have two, and I think they're working on their third, something like that. But what I listened to this one general, and he was talking about the fact that aircraft carriers are in reality old technology.
Yep, absolutely.
So we're going to go into the next war relying on aircraft carriers, and they have these hypersonic missiles that we can't stop. We went into World War II thinking we had the biggest battleship fleet in the world, and the reality was what won the war was not the battleships, it was the new technology of aircraft carriers. So, got to stay up on the new things.
Yep. Folks, we got to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening to this CCTA Wake Up Call show.